feel like doing the robot.
Go ahead, Wendy. You've earned that right. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and Robot Wendy. Welcome to the show. Last night, over on MTV, they had the MTV Video Awards.
VMAs.
The VMAs.
Video Music Awards,
that's right. Did you get to see any of it?
I don't partake anymore.
Because it makes you feel old, doesn't it?
You kind of.
Makes me feel old, too. I didn't see it live, but all night long, there were online stories about how the host, Sebastian Maniscalco, didn't do well.
And I heard Dean mention that. I believe his words were he tanked last night.
Dean was being kind. If you read what was going on last night, the internet was just abuzz with people furious that he was hosting. And boy, is he eating it. And it, on and on and on and on. So I watched the whole opening monologue. And I have to say, he did not do poorly. He didn't do great, but he didn't do poorly. He got reaction. He held their attention. It's such a tough room. That MTV room, because the people who go to this award show, it's not like the other award show. It's not like the Oscars or the Emmys or the People's Choice. They're just sitting there to be cool. They just want to be cool at the MTV Awards. That's it.
Why weren't you there then?
I was there, Wendy. I was there with my favorite rapper, that Lil Nas X. Do you know that guy?
Oh, no.
Yeah, Lil Nas X. Yeah, we were there together.
Lil
Nas X. So he's got a sinus problem, evidently, but he's a great singer. I don't know how he does it.
Overcomes his problems.
Yeah, he proves to us that we can overcome nasal decongestion. So can we play a little bit of Sebastian Maniscalco?
Do.
And you tell me what you think, because I've been watching these award shows for years, and I've seen people do way, 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 way worse. He doesn't do badly. He doesn't do great, but he doesn't do that badly, I don't think. All right, here's a little bit of Sebastian Maniscalco. He's hosting the MTV Nasonex Awards.
Listen, I didn't mean to come out to a cloud of smoke, but backstage, my mother's frying zucchini. It's not really her fault. She's making it for 20,000 people tonight.
Decent start.
We cracked a window and hopefully this all clear out for the Devils home opener. Welcome to the 2019 VMAs. My name is Sebastian Maniscalco and I'm going to be your host tonight.
Now hold on, Jess, just for a second. This proves that they know him, that they like him. He came out, he was doing a cute little dance when he came out, which you should do if you're on the MTV Awards. You should do a cute little dance.
And he kind of does that. That's
he
him.
Does that, right. So
there's recognition.
There's recognition. It's not like it's a guy that nobody in the room has ever heard of. They're aware of him. They were happy to see him. All right, here's a little bit more.
Man, what a night. We're celebrating music the way it always was intended. In a hockey rink in the middle of Newark.
All right, high marks there because he called out the moment. He addressed what was going on. It's the MTV Awards. They're in a strange venue. They're in a hockey rink. They're in New Jersey. You can't go wrong with that. He's doing great.
Listen, I know a lot of you have your phones out. You like to document everything as it's happening. You know what? So does MTV. They got 26 cameras all over the room, and I guarantee you, your phone's not going to get this shot.
Cut to an overhead camera shot. Now here, just stop for a second. Here's where the problem starts, because he calls them out on that last joke. I know you like to document everything, so that's where the audience goes, uh-oh. He's making fun of us directly. He's making fun of the generation that always has their phones out and is recording every single second of their lives. So that's when the audience starts to go, uh-oh.
But it's true.
But it's true.
They're fine with that, I would think. I'm fine with that. I document things.
Yes. They can't deny it.
Right.
You could see the audience at the time with their phones out as he's saying it, recording it. Even though if they really want a recording of it, it's on MTV. So someone's already recording it. You don't have to.
That's a good point.
Right. All right. So here's more.
You have a spider cam, just put your phones away and let the professionals record the action. Also, I am so glad to be here. I've been here for a week in New Jersey. I'm from Los Angeles, where everybody's riding around in a bird scooter. taking photos of themselves in front of a wall, and everybody with an iPhone apparently is an influencer. Now listen, New Jersey doesn't have time for that, all right?
Does that sound like he's doing poorly?
No, but can you stop it? He's not from Los Angeles.
He's from here.
And Dean had an issue with that, too,
yeah.
And so did Steve Cochran, and it's true. He's not... He could say, you know, I'm a Midwestern guy, live in Los Angeles now.
100%.
That was not...
100%.
And he seems kind of nervous and not as smooth as he usually
is. Yes. He usually, to your credit, he usually has a much bigger command of the stage. There was some stumbling. But when you see, I mean, Sebastian Maniscalco is used to working big rooms, but this is it's a hockey arena. It's gigantic. And I mean, the whole mechanics of what you do is a little bit different. But still, for people who, I mean, if you read any of the accounts of what went on last night, you would have thought it was just crickets the whole time he's up there. He's doing pretty good
so far,
right?
Yeah.
All right, here's more.
Jersey has had one influencer for the past 40 years, and that's Bruce Springsteen.
Good.
Here's him doing very, very well. They're yelling Bruce, not Boo.
Oh, okay.
Listen, Bruce.
Obviously, we have a lot of people from the music industry here tonight. Now, there's a lot of feuds going on with the music business. People throwing shade. Just found out what shade was this week.
That's funny.
All the shade flying back and forth, coming up with the seating chart for tonight was harder than arranging the tables for my Uncle Luigi's fifth wedding. So I hope everybody's happy over there.
All right, so right there, that doesn't get great response, but what he did was very smart. He called out the fact that he's older than the room, which is true. It's obvious. He did what he does best, which is calling his family into the joke, talked about his Uncle Luigi's wedding. Nothing wrong with that.
His fifth wedding.
It didn't get thunderous applause or anything like that, but it's still
not bad.
Still not bad. Let's do this. We'll take a break, and then we'll cover more of this. This is last night's MTV Video Awards. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're talking about last night's MTV Video Awards.
Video Music Awards, right?
Video VMA. Music Awards, yeah.
VMA.
Right. As they're commonly referred to, the VMAs. So the host was Sebastian Maniscalco, a Chicagoan, although he said yesterday a Los Angelino.
Which he's not.
He's from Arlington Heights, I believe. I'm almost positive.
Yeah, but does he live in L.A. now?
But it's still, when you talk about your roots, you talk about... He's not... When I say I'm from L.A. Makes me think he's born and bred.
Right. But I'm defending him in that... If you read anything last night, if you were anywhere near a computer last night and you were online, people were blasting him like crazy, and he didn't, in my opinion...
So far, so good.
So, right? Don't you think?
Yep.
All right, now, what's coming up next is some material that does kind of get the audience in the gut a little bit, in that he's talking about some sensitive subjects, and this part didn't go over great, as you'll hear, but it still wasn't the disaster they're making it out to be on the internet. Listen to this.
Now... Just a couple announcements before we get started. This is happening for the first time. MTV, what they're doing is they notice that we're living in ultra-sensitive time, right? So if you feel triggered, or you feel offended by anything I'm saying up here, or anything the musical artists are doing, they're providing a safe space... Backstage, will you get some stress balls and a blankie? And also, Lil Nas X brought his horse, which will double as an emotional support animal. So if you'd like to talk to your ushers, they will send you back to where that's happening. Personally, I would remove you from the arena, put you in your car, and send you home, but they opted with the safe space.
All right, so that's Sebastian's way of saying we live in a very sensitive time and poking some fun at it. It didn't go over great.
He shouldn't be poking fun at it.
Right. Well, I don't know. You make a choice. You know, he probably wrote 100 jokes for that opening, and then you pare it down and pare it down. There's probably a better direction to go in. But I give him credit for trying it. It didn't do great.
I don't know if that's the place to try it.
Right.
Perhaps you should have done an open mic somewhere. Well,
he's so used to, I don't know what his average audience member is, but I'm guessing somewhere in their 30s, 40s, or 50s, yeah. Right? So if you're playing to that crowd of people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s talking about the sensitive generation, they're going to appreciate it. But when you're doing the show for the sensitive generation, they're not going to appreciate it so much. Right?
But he said it so mockingly. Like, yeah. I just feel like even his inflection could have made that. It was kind of funny.
Yeah.
I get where he's going.
Yeah.
But it is such a big thing now, whether you agree in safe spaces or not.
Right.
I just thought his mocking way of saying it was not cool.
I kept thinking to what the great philosopher John Lovitz told you and me on Friday, where he said, John Lovitz told us, and I kind of agree with him, comedy can't be that sensitive. Comedy can't, you know, you have to take chances. You can't be politically correct if you're doing comedy. And there's something to that. I mean,
yeah, but he's hosting a show. It's not like it's his act.
Right. You have to make concessions to who's in front of you. You have to tailor the show a little bit to who's watching you.
And 224, oh, stop, Wendy. That's the whole problem with today's society. Oh, you're going to hurt my feelings. It's not about hurting your feelings, but there are real people with real issues that may need that safe space.
When I was doing stand-up, much of the show was just talking to the crowd. I mean, I had some stuff that was set up, but for the most part, I liked being in the moment of what was going on in the room. And a lot of that was making fun of the people that were at the show. Sometimes the way they looked, sometimes the way they talked, sometimes I would ask them a question and their answer. That was the show, was making fun of them. I don't know that I could pull that off today because everyone is so overly sensitive to that sort of thing that what used to work and work well on a good night, I don't think you could even try successfully now because people would be offended immediately.
You have a great point there because I used to go see live comedy and, you know, the audience members become the butt of the jokes
right.
very frequently, or they did.
But in the world of today, that's too antagonistic. You know, people would be... When I did colleges, that was everybody's favorite part of the show, was just going around the room and making fun of the people that were there at the show. I don't know that that would play in a college today. Everybody would be upset about it.
And 847, no, I disagree. He was hired to be a performer. That's his act. They knew what they were getting. Much like was it Hannibal Buress at some place here where he was told not to do something.
Yes.
And I get it.
Yes.
I think there are funnier jokes. I don't...
Right.
I didn't think that was a material.
But a lot of times you don't know. I mean, you're hoping
yeah,
for the best
obviously.
Response possible. Steve, what were you going to say?
Well, I think he should have known better than to do the safe space jokes toward the people who most likely would need the
yeah.
safe space.
Yes.
You know, that's the point.
Right.
And it's not just doing your own act because you're doing it for a particular audience. You
yeah.
wouldn't do, you know, you wouldn't go up and do an anti-Catholic routine at a baptism.
Right.
You just wouldn't.
Right.
Remember bald jokes?
Yes.
You talk about
yes.
making fun of people, something that's completely gone away.
Right. Right.
630, tell them to put their big boy pants on and suck it up, grow a pair. That's the mentality that bothers me a little bit. I don't need a safe space, but there are people that do. Why can't you appreciate that?
Right. For a generation that has now lived where just going to school means you have to go through a metal detector, it's a much more sensitive time than for us, where we didn't have to worry about that.
Well, the other weird thing is that crowd probably went through very extensive security to
yes.
get in there.
Yes.
And I'm sure many of them were looking over their shoulder wondering, too.
Yep. Yep.
847, the concept of a safe space is a joke. The entire world is unsafe. I don't even really 100% understand the safe space. Is it just a place where if you're being overwhelmed, you can go in
yeah.
there and it's calming?
Yeah.
So what do I care if they're there or not? I wouldn't
I
use it, but if somebody wants to, go
That's
ahead.
It, right. But to use it as a pivot point for a joke in that room, I'm telling you, that is a tough room to
yes,
begin with.
Yes, I agree with you.
I've only seen, in the years I've been watching it, I've seen one person do really, really well, and that's Andy Samberg. Everybody else has done okay. Andy Samberg somehow figured out how to play to the audience and play well to the audience. But everybody else just gets by.
And I don't think that joke made him a failure.
No.
I mean, it just didn't go over
right.
well. You have to work the room,
right.
obviously.
Right.
He tried it. I don't fault him for
right.
it.
Right. but having heard, we didn't play all of it, but having heard most of what he did in his opening monologue, don't you think the internet was very quick to condemn him? I don't think he did poorly.
I don't either. Did it go way downhill after that?
No, I didn't see the rest of the show. I saw clips, a little snippet here and there.
For the rest of the monologue, was there much more? Did it?
No, another minute or two.
And but it didn't go downhill from
there? No, 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 no.
That was just, it's just, it's a sensitive issue. That's all I got to say. I mean, you know, you don't make fun of mental illness, suicide, right. Emotional anxiety.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know. I don't think that's funny.
Yeah, yeah. So I think more than anything, it's a lesson in sometimes you'll read something on the internet and you'll say, well, it must be true. There it is on the internet. But then when you actually see it or hear it, you go, I'm not sure. Every account I read of last night's show said, boy, the host really ruined the evening. I didn't get that at all.
Not from what I heard.
No, not even a little bit.
I'm a fan of his, too. I think he's super funny.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you mentioned, sometimes a joke falls flat, but I wouldn't fault him for that. And I wouldn't, you know, cross my arms and just to spite him not laugh for the rest of the show.
Can I ask you guys what's going to sound like a really stupid question?
Sure.
Where do you see comedians?
Where do we see them?
Like in the future, how do they proceed?
No, I never see a comedian. So you guys bring comedians in, or Cochran does, and you talk about how you really like them.
Right.
Where do you run across them? Because I never see a comedian's routine.
Well, so many of them now have Netflix specials or YouTube, bits on YouTube that you can see. You could certainly go to the clubs. You can go to Zany's or the Improv if you want to.
But I'm asking because the two of you are very familiar with all these people.
Yeah.
And you see them on Netflix or something like that?
I have seen Sebastian Maniscalco because he's been doing it a while and he just broke really big.
Yeah.
And he's been doing this quite some time. Pat McGann is opening for him and producing a new Pat McGann special. And I saw the thing about, I'm Italian, and he talks about, you know, in the old days when the doorbell rang, you were so excited to see, oh, is this one of my aunts coming over with a coffee cake?
Yeah.
And now the doorbell rings and everybody looks at each other and says, hide. We don't, we're not, were you expecting someone? That just struck me as really funny.
It's very funny. Yeah.
So it's just, you see it on Facebook, and there's a little YouTube video. That's how...
Yeah, I'm not putting any of it down. I just don't see it, and I don't...
Well, you don't look for it either.
I don't. That's the point.
But you can find it.
I used to watch The Tonight Show, and it would be there.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, that still exists at all the late-night shows. They still have plenty of spots for comics.
And that's why I feel like I never see comics, because I don't stay up late to watch them, unless they come on Steve's show.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Now I know who that person is.
And even then, Mary, I've seen you goes off a couple times.
Exactly.
During the rat,
so.
Thanks, Steve. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. Later on, we will hear from CNET and find out what's going on in the world of technology.
Can't wait.
But first, Wendy, first this. I saw this on Channel 2 News last night. Apparently, there's a lot of people who say that the time of having those horse-drawn carriages in downtown Chicago, that those days should end, and they should end now.
What about the horses?
What about the horses?
Yeah, who was that? Burt Nateris?
Burt Nateris,
yes. Yes. That was great.
I'm the patsy.
Is he still with us, by the way, Burt Nateris?
Let me look, because I wasn't sure. I
hope he is.
He
a true Chicago
character.
Oh, I love
that
guy.
Yeah. He had a key vote for, I think it was for a budget or tax increase, and he was like, I'm the patsy.
Right.
He's 86 years old. He's still with us.
Yeah. Right downtown Alderman.
Yep. All right. So what are your thoughts, Wendy, on these horse-drawn carriages? Good idea, bad idea, or was it a good idea, but now it's time to move on? What do you think?
I have mixed opinions on this. I feel like, you know, a horse does not want to walk around with all the exhaust from all the cars.
And the danger of being that close to cars.
Yeah, although they've done it a while, they're probably used to it, but the exhaust makes me nervous for them. I wish.
Yep.
Why do you laugh at me?
Because it's the horse exhaust that was a big controversy before.
Not the other way around.
That's why they wear diapers now and all of that.
Controversy, by the way, I believe is celebrating its 25th anniversary.
Exactly.
Right?
Oh, my God.
It's been going on forever.
It goes away and then comes back.
I don't like cruelty to animals. I am not sure this is cruelty, is all I'm saying. These horses are well taken care of, from what I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they'd be dead if they weren't doing it.
Would they be dead?
Where would they be?
Well, I don't mean...
In the wild.
In the wild.
No, I don't mean dead, but, you know, are they working too many hours? Do they get overtime?
Yeah.
There are things
and who
that-
polices that? Is there somebody's job to keep
there
an
is,
eye on?
Yeah.
There
Steve
is?
Dale.
I believe so, yeah.
Is it Steve Dale?
Well, yeah, there has to be a way to keep track of this stuff
so.
And make sure they're not being treated inhumanely.
I think they're pretty tightly regulated.
Are they?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Well, I believe it's absolutely true.
Here's the story out of Channel 2 this morning. If half the city council gets its way, horse-drawn carriages will be taken off the streets of Chicago. Meanwhile, as the debate heats up, CBS 2 has learned Animal Care and Control took one of the horses off the streets just the other day. CBS 2's Tara Molina reported the inspector said the horse was injured and limping on Sunday. And they showed this on the news yesterday. It was pretty obvious this horse was in some duress.
Okay,
it was
then that's
very
a problem.
Gingerly.
Yeah. That is a problem.
Yep. The director of Animal Care and Control said that the inspector followed the horse back to its stable to make sure that it stayed off the street. All horses could be off the street by next year if a new ordinance passes. Some call the horse-drawn carriage rides down the Magnificent Mile romantic and a great way to see the city.
Can I tell you how romantic it is?
How romantic?
630 has texted us, was coming home from the Cubs game Sunday and saw in the inner drive both passengers were on their phone while on the carriage.
Oh, that's
I don't
romantic.
Think they get the concept of sightseeing in a carriage.
The whole thing just seems silly to me. But
have you been on one?
No. I mean,
I did when I was in high school.
Here in town?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was a night out with my then boyfriend who took me for dinner at the Black Hawk.
Restaurants. Oh, look at that.
A carriage
nice.
Ride.
Yeah.
And I got to pick out whatever I wanted at Water Tower Place. It was quite
anything
a birthday.
You wanted?
Well, within reason.
No.
Under $1 million. But
wow.
it was sweet. It was nice, but
you didn't feel like looked at? You know, like I think
that's
you're just,
part of it though, right? Is that you feel like you're Cinderella, right?
I like the pedicabs, what are they called? The pedicabs? Pedicabs?
Pedicabs.
Those are
what is
kick
that?
Ass. Those are like the rickshaws
oh,
with
that's the
bicycle.
Rickshaw. Yeah.
There was this guy coming home from preseason Bears game last year who had music blaring and he had lights all over the little carriage in the back. That is the way to go.
But isn't the difference that guy signed up for it? He knew what he was getting into.
No.
The horse has no say in it.
I agree with you.
Being out in the in the West, and then all of a sudden they're looking around going, "This isn't the West."
Well, I think more likely the horses are used to pulling plows in the fields in the 1800s.
Right.
And is that better?
Right.
No, I don't think it's a problem of them pulling the carriage. That I'm not thinking is bad. But if you have an injured horse on his route, that's unacceptable.
I think we all can agree to that.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Why did it happen then?
And why has it been happening for so long?
Yeah.
I think this is the voice of Danny Shagru, manager of Antique Coach and Carriages, but not the Dan Shagru that was a producer here at WGN.
That was a close one.
No, it's the same name, spelled differently. He says, I think it adds character to the city.
Oh, we got enough character, trust me.
How odd, though, that the manager of Antique Coach and Carriage, the company that puts this out, would say that.
It does. Come on. If you're a tourist and you're here and you look at the horse-drawn look at the horse-drawn carriage.
Right.
I mean, it does add some kind of ambiance to a
I guess so.
All-American city.
Have you ever driven behind one?
Yes.
And?
They're an animal.
Not pleasant, is it? Not pleasant.
It's just like, what's it for? Because you could walk faster than it's going to get you anywhere.
Yes, you can.
You know?
Yes, you can.
I don't get either side of it, frankly.
What does it cost? Do we know what it costs?
Oh, boy, that's
is it
a
expensive?
Good question, I'm sure.
Others say that it is a danger. Others who are not the manager of Antique Coach and Carriage say that it is a danger to anyone sharing the road and that the animal is doing all of the legwork. I don't think you can debate that. That's as 100% fact as you could ever say.
$35 for a half an hour? Does
wow.
that sound
that's
right?
Not
that's
bad.
Pretty inexpensive.
What does the horse get out of that? What's the horse's
Five
take?
$5.
$5? All right.
And some extra hay.
All right. Hey. Maybe one time horses helped build the city, but this is 2019, said Jody Whitaker of the Chicago Allegiance for Animals. It's not a brand new debate in Chicago, but an ordinance introduced and supported by 18 aldermen could put an end to the clippity-clops along Michigan Avenue.
Well, now wait. That story started by saying half the city council.
Right.
And there it said.
Now they say 18 aldermen. So that's not quite half.
No.
No. Not by a bit. It's time to put this archaic practice to rest, said Alderman Ray Lopez from the 15th District. They're going to close this down because people don't like us anymore, said Chagrew. He looked last night like he was going to cry.
Well, he's chagrined.
Right, yes. Yes. And I know this is his livelihood, and I would feel the same way if somebody said, oh, that's your livelihood. I'll take that. Thank you. I understand that.
I get that, too.
Yeah.
But I don't know that they're necessary. I just wish someone in the animal world would look into it.
Yes.
See if there are any violations.
Yes. But you're asking for something that's being done, Wendy, because there was an inspector who saw this injured horse and saw that it was taken off the street.
Okay, but
so,
why?
I mean, I think they are watched.
Okay, so why doesn't the owner of this place
take it off, right?
Say, you know, oh, he's got a bum leg. We got to give him a little. Maybe he didn't have a backup horse.
Well, that's a very good point. The horse shouldn't have been out there if it was hurt.
Yeah. That's my concern.
Yes.
But what do you think is going to happen to these horses?
Where will they go?
To a farm.
We can't eat them anymore. We can't even eat a horse in this state anymore.
What did you just say?
It's illegal to eat horses here.
Right. No, it's true. What? It's true.
I guess that's factual.
And I think that's for all of our good.
Is it?
Isn't it?
Well, yeah, we can eat a cow. We can eat a goat.
Right.
Oh, seriously?
What? We can...
You'd eat horse meat?
I would go on a dog-driven carriage down the streets in Michigan Avenue if they had that. That'd be fun.
I think it's odd that there are certain animals we can eat and there are other ones that we can't. Now, dog, I'll give you. Cat, I'll give you. But why, if people wanted to eat horse, and people do eat horse meat,
why
there's a state law prohibiting it from, but we can butcher pigs? I don't get that.
I think maybe, Steve, they did that because there were some restaurants that were putting in horse meat with the regular meat. So they were saying this is a catch-all. You can't do that.
I don't know. I don't know.
Have you had horse meat?
I'm not saying I would eat it, but I know there was a slaughterhouse in, I think it was in Rockford, that had to close many years ago. I mean, there are cultures that do eat it.
Right.
So
I just wondered if you tasted it and if it was good, then...
Don't you think it's weird that we can eat a buffalo, but we can't eat a horse?
I don't eat buffalo.
Yes.
Well, pick an animal that you eat.
But
chicken.
I don't eat duck. I don't eat buffalo or...
I said that you do eat.
A cow.
Maybe because the horse is the only one that we ride.
That we can both ride and what?
I know, but that's...
We don't eat them because we ride them. We use them for other things.
But why should the government make that decision for us if other people do want to eat the horse?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm just trying to really want to get into this conversation.
You can't, you don't ride a goat, you know. You don't ride a pig.
You could ride a goat.
You can ride a goat, yeah.
It'd be a little difficult.
Yeah.
Well, not an adult, but kids have... I rode a goat when I was a little kid.
Oh, the little goats. Yeah, that's true.
Ugh. Yeah.
Those things smelled. I remember.
Donkeys.
I was always terrified.
Yeah. Right?
I don't even... I'm speechless.
So if it was up to you, the horse-driven carriages of Michigan Avenue, they would stay or they would go? If somebody said, it's up to you, Wendy, what would you say?
I don't think we need them anymore.
Yeah. I'm kind of in that direction, too. There was a time where it seemed charming, but I don't... It just doesn't do it for me anymore.
We've got no time for charm
anymore.
There's
no time for charm. All right, we'll take a break. We'll check in with CNET. That's coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Bill, you know what that music means.
Time for Tech Tuesday.
Yes, and we have senior reporter for CNET News in Manhattan reporting on some stories today. Ben Fox Rubin joins us. Hey, Ben, how's it going?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, there's a headline here. Facebook expands local emergency alerts in the U.S. First of all, could you tell us what that is? I don't know what the Facebook emergency alerts are.
Yeah, so this is a program that they started last year with a handful of governments, where they provided a tool to any of these local governments or first responders that needed to get an alert out to folks, whether that's a winter storm alert or a missing persons alert or even perhaps an active shooter. So it's a way to let people know they're already on social media. This is a way to get the news out quickly to people that are local.
Can you decide, Ben, how many alerts and the severity of the alerts? Because on some people's phones, they do these Amber alerts, which I think is a great idea. But you can opt out of the alerts, can't you, if you wanted to?
I would think so. I haven't been able to play around with these tools too much because it's still, you know, kind of a smaller pilot effort at this point. But I would hope that they're not going to do something where they're just absolutely inundating people with alerts. Because I also know that, you know, anytime there's a flash flood warning, there's like this very loud noise that just echoes through my open office.
Yeah.
Everybody gets it on their phone at the exact same time.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a good idea, and you can just click the window closed. It doesn't hurt to be aware of situations, but they have expanded it, so I'm curious to find out what is going to be included in that. Amber alerts for sure, any kind of security alert or gunman, I get that, but I'm curious about the other stuff.
Yeah, I agree with you, yeah.
All right. So another thing going on, I am subscribed to Yelp, and I find it pretty fun to look at the reviews of a restaurant. You have to keep in mind, that sometimes people have a bone to pick with the restaurant, so they'll leave a bad review. But now if you have dietary restrictions, there's a new feature.
Yeah. So this is actually a pretty broad personalization feature that they're adding in. And they're hoping that, you know, here's Facebook again. They're hoping to better compete against Facebook and also Google, as they've offered a lot more local information for their users. So Yelp is a much, much smaller company. So they're hoping to drill down on personalization, which means that if you're vegetarian, if you're gluten-free, if you're halal, you'd be able to narrow down your selections as far as that's concerned. You can also tell Yelp, oh, I like pizza, or I'm specifically into Chinese food. So that way, you're not just looking at all of their top-rated stuff. You're also looking at stuff that's been specifically personalized to you that you told them that you like.
I like that, because sometimes, you know, it's a big time suck. I can spend an hour on Yelp looking at reviews of places.
You've done that for an hour? Wow.
I really can find great ways to waste my time. I really can.
I usually go when I'm hungry, so yeah, I don't have an hour to spend.
I know, maybe not a full hour, but sometimes you get sucked into the rabbit hole where you're looking at one restaurant and then someone mentions another, so you look that up. Do you guys base your decision based on Yelp reviews, either of you?
I never have been. You?
I have used Yelp quite a bit. Yeah. I actually like Yelp more than the Google reviews, but I completely agree with you as far as the fact that there are a lot of people that specifically go on that site and on TripAdvisor just to complain. I understand folks have negative experiences sometimes, but it does bother me where sometimes those can sometimes overwhelm a perfectly good restaurant and give people the wrong impression of a place.
And sometimes you will actually see the restaurant respond saying, you know, why didn't you let us know and give us a chance to fix it? And really, that's what your first line of defense should be, is bring it up to the restaurant and give them a chance to fix it. I agree.
Absolutely.
All right, self-driving cars. We have been talking about these for how long? I don't like the idea. I'm not going to get in one of those. But now with the new network, the 5G network coming, is it really going to make it smarter and better?
We'll see. This is a really, really long process. And I was really excited to talk about this specific topic. It's called CV2X, which means communication with a vehicle, and X meaning anything else. And it's this really, really big concept in vehicles, where you would have sensors that you add into basically every single vehicle on the road, and light posts and traffic lights, and maybe even the road itself, to let everything communicate with everything else. It's like this big smart city concept that the cars would be able to communicate amongst each other to avoid accidents. Cars could even look around corners, you know, in theory, look around corners. But the big problem here is, you know how complicated it would be to actually put together this type of thing? It would take years and years if it were to ever come about.
Ben, another factor is, what happens to cars that don't have the technology, to older cars? How do they synchronize in with the cars that do have the technology?
Exactly. And I don't have an answer to that. That's a really hard question to answer. So. Yeah. Ford, for instance, has already started developing CV2X in their cars. So they're hoping, like, hey, at least if we get started with this, we'll get the ball rolling and see what happens. But you can imagine how many different stakeholders have to be included for something like this. But I don't need to tell you guys as far as how many fatalities there are on the road every year. So this is a really big kind of like home run concept to try to substantially reduce the number of injuries and fatalities that happen on the road. And you would still be driving your car.
Right.
Maybe eventually it would shift to self-driving cars, but it would just make them way, way safer than they currently are.
I have the feature on our car, I think, because I've never used it. Bill, you have it as well, where it will park the car for you.
Yeah.
And I thought you told me that, you know, typically when you're parallel parking, you pull up pretty much
parallel to the car in front
of you, yeah. And then you back in. But yeah. With this particular thing, it does it front ways.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried it? Because I can't even give up control to let it do it on its own.
I test drove a car for 2 weeks that had it, and I was reluctant to try it, which is ridiculous. Because that's the best way to learn about it. But I was so afraid that something was going
yes.
to happen, I couldn't use it.
Yeah. So if we feel this way, and I can't speak for you, Ben, if you've actually let a car park itself, but if we can't give in to that, how are we going to be able to give in to all the other stuff?
I haven't, and I'm totally jealous that you've even tried cars that parallel park, because parallel parking is a huge pain.
Yeah.
But I don't even use cruise control. I'm not even willing to, like, put my foot off of the gas when I'm on the highway for really long rides. So
right.
I couldn't agree with you more on that. But at the same time, I think this could be a really cool safety concept. But I hopefully I've explained it well enough that this is pretty pie in the sky, and it might take a really long time to get here, if it ever does.
Like, how long are we talking?
Oh, geez.
September?
September.
Oh.
I think Elon Musk... No. Elon Musk specifically said it takes about 20 years for every car on the road to overhaul to a new car. Like, the upgrade cycle takes something like 2 decades.
Oh,
so you can imagine 2 decades is the bare minimum.
Yeah.
And not every manufacturer is putting this into their vehicles. So it could take decades, for sure.
All right, I feel better. You cheered me up, Ben. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
also,
the future isn't coming that quickly.
All right.
Thank God. And even, you know, just one comment on the cruise control. I have tried to use it, but it takes you out of driving a car. If your foot's not, like, down there on the gas, I sometimes forgot I was behind the wheel, so I don't know. I guess people use it a lot. I don't know if you do, Bill.
Every now and then, but I don't go out of my way.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I like to do it all myself,
yes.
So I'm not going to partake in this.
Yeah.
Ben, thank you so much for keeping us up to date on what's going on a Tech Tuesday. He is a senior reporter for CNET News in Manhattan, Ben Fox Rubin. You can find him at CNET.com. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
Wish you were sticking around, because we're going to talk about things to get you ready for your lunch hour. There are foods that we've been eating the wrong way our entire life.
Oh, really?
Some are interesting. Some are quite silly. Who enjoys a good can of Pringles? Because I sure do.
It's been a while, but yeah, they're pretty good.
Really?
I haven't had Pringles in a long, long time.
Like over 10 years?
Yeah, I think it's been over 10 years.
Can you have the sour cream powder flavored ones?
I like the cheddar ones. Mm. That is our go-to flight
snack.
That's
the chip of choice?
For the flights. When we are going on vacation, we always bring cans of Pringles with.
Are you amazed at the uniformity of the Pringles?
Yes!
They all look exactly the same. It's amazing.
Pringles... Oddly enough, I did not know this, are only seasoned on one side. They're only seasoned on the top.
Mm-hmm.
So you should really be eating them upside down to maximize the actual flavor on your taste buds. Every once in a while, you'll get a little bit of powder on the top, because when they're stacked on top
right.
of each other.
It's natural that some powder would
or
rub
on the
off.
Bottom, I should say.
Right.
But you should be eating them upside down to get the full flavor if you're going the sour cream and onion route.
Oh.
I'll bet you $1 someone listening today is going to
try it. We'll try that upside down. Be careful, person who's trying that.
Speaking of which, I think I invented this, but then I saw it on this BuzzFeed list.
What is it?
I really feel like I invented this.
What is it?
You know, when sometimes you get a really good gourmet burger,
uh-huh.
the bottom bun is so tiny that when you start eating it, it sometimes disintegrates.
Right.
And it's messy.
Yeah.
So I have been flipping over a burger because the bottom bun, which is technically the top, is thicker, and it just doesn't seem to fall apart as easily.
But the bottom bun is only going to be a little bit bigger. Not a lot. Is it enough to make a difference?
It makes a huge difference.
Is that right? Yeah. I'm surprised.
And it says if you eat your burger upside down, none of the ingredients will fall out when you bite into it.
Now, I've noticed a trend in all of these so far, Wendy. It's whatever food you're eating, you should be eating upside down.
Well, they change.
Is that going to continue?
No, it's not. But right. When I saw this one, I'm like, I eat my burger upside down. Because if you get, sometimes I eat my sloppy joe upside down, too.
And it's not messier that way?
It's less messy because...
But then you have the scorn of everyone around you saying, why is that woman eating all of her food upside down?
Like,
you're okay with that? Yeah.
All of my ingredients are staying on the burger.
You get kicked out of restaurants.
When I make sloppy joes for the family, which is usually like every 3 months, I have a hankering for manwich.
Oh.
It's more like a meal.
It is. Yeah, it's more like
a meal.
Is that
it?
Something like that, yeah.
All right. You put it on a nice soft sesame seed bun, and the bottom bun is so much thinner that, like, I would assemble the sandwich, and you have to have Fritos always with the sloppy
joe. That's a must,
is
it?
They go together.
Not the Pringles, not this time. What if you were having a sloppy joe on an airplane?
I wouldn't
be. Oh, you wouldn't be. Right?
No.
They would probably prohibit that.
Yes.
All right.
And so when I make the sandwich and assemble it and call, hey, dinner's ready, I notice
that... You ring the bell.
I do have a dinner bell.
Yeah.
And it soaks through. So I find myself flipping it upside down while they're waiting to get it. You'll try
it. Does the whole family do this or is this just you? Have you been able to show your boys the correct way?
I've shown them. Sometimes they do it. Usually when the bottom bun starts going, that's when they'll flip it over.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting thing. Now, this is something you may know about. I did not know anything about this. You like a good gummy bear, don't you?
I sure do.
It says that you're supposed to freeze your gummy bears and fresh grapes to help intensify the sugary tastes. Have you ever done that?
I've never thought about that, no. I like them right out of the bag.
The whole point of a gummy bear is it's mushy and gushy.
Yeah.
Why would you want it?
Don't freeze it.
Do you freeze chocolate? Sometimes if you have little mini chocolate bars.
I don't think I have.
I don't like it.
No, I don't think I have.
My boys like things for like a frozen Snickers if you get the fun size. I mean, it's okay, but I mean, part of the joy of having chocolate is when it's a little on the melty
side.
You
want it melting like that. Yeah.
That's why my items should be on this list. Things you've been doing the wrong way. You should microwave your plain M&Ms.
The only thing in the world of candy that I'll freeze is a frozen Snickers is really, really good.
Yeah.
Right? But I don't think anything... I'm trying to think of anything else I've ever frozen from candy that makes sense. I do it with... I love frozen cherries. Did you ever get those from...
The real cherries?
The best ones are from Trader Joe's. In your grocer's freezer, you can get a bag of frozen cherries. I'm not the biggest Trader Joe's fan, but somehow they have nailed it with the frozen cherries. They're so flavorful.
Are they tart or are they super sweet?
They're right on the tart sour 50-yard line.
They're
perfect.
Just frozen cherries, and you just pop them in your mouth. You don't.
I'll run them under so I keep them frozen, and then I'll put a handful of them under hot water, so they're both frozen and hot at the same time. Oh, are they incredible? And I eat them upside down.
While standing on your head?
Yeah.
I microwave the M&Ms because I think it's 32 seconds, maybe 38, for a full-size bag, not a fun size, because the inside gets all melty, but that shell stays crunchy.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
So you bite into it.
And that works with the array of M&M flavors or just your plain?
The plain works the best. I haven't tried it with the other versions. I know I've tried it with the peanut one, and quite honestly, the peanut gets a little too hot.
I can see that. If it's just chocolate, it might play better.
And it's just so rich and gooey, and the reason I found this out is I left some M&Ms in my car on a hot summer day, and I came back, and
the best discoveries are made like that.
This should be on the list.
Yeah.
All right, the frozen gummy bears, I don't know about that.
I'll try that, but that doesn't sound right to me.
This is something that I think I'm going to try. Squeeze a lemon on top of any kind of pizza, homemade, delivery, whatever, for extra flavor and freshness. I've never heard of it. It makes me want to try it.
I love lemon, but I'm not sure that lemon lends itself to whatever's on a pizza. I'm not positive.
I don't know the reasoning behind this, but are you going to think about trying it next time or no?
I love pineapple on a pizza.
It's not meant to be there.
No, it's always worked for me. And I'm not even a gigantic pineapple fan. If I'm in Hawaii, where you can't avoid pineapple, I'll have it. But I don't go out of my way to have pineapple. But anytime it's on a pizza, it really does, it works for me.
I have a problem with warm pineapple and warm tomatoes. So like a grilled pineapple, which people do.
I grill, whenever we do shish kebab, I grill pineapple as part of the shish kebab, and it's so good. Because even though it's hot from the grilling, it still has a cool flavor to it somehow.
That is interesting.
It's the miracle of pineapple, Wendy. No one can understand it.
A quick break. And some of these unusual ways, I guess we've been eating some items the wrong way for many years. Maybe you have one on your own. Like I came up with the upside down hamburger.
Yeah, which is sweeping the nation. That's all everyone's talking about now.
It's on BuzzFeed now, and I am not credited.
I know.
But maybe listeners have their own. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy at 720 WGN. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and foods we've been eating incorrectly for probably all of our lives, like we were talking about...
Like gummy bears should be frozen, according to this. I don't know.
I don't know either, and we did talk about freezing candy, and Bill, listener Bill, wants to jump in. Hey, Bill.
Hi. Real quick, first, I wanted to thank Bill for showing me his toy collection over Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Bill.
Hi, I really enjoyed that. But the one candy bar that I remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, because I'm sure you would know.
Yeah.
The Zero Bar, and I believe they actually advertised that you froze. That was the best way to eat it, kind of hence the name
frozen.
Of it.
Frozen, yep. I remember that.
I remember when we were in Little League Baseball that after the games that we would go to the concession stand and we would get our Milky Way, or not Milky Way, I'm sorry.
Zero Bar?
Three Musketeers candy bar.
Oh, frozen, yeah.
And that was always really
good. Yeah, I remember that too. Bill, a Zero candy bar was introduced in 1920, composed of a combination of caramel, peanut, and almond nougat covered with a layer of white fudge.
I think there's coconut in there too, though, isn't there?
It doesn't
say. I always thought there was.
You're thinking of a Zagnut.
They still make them, and they're great.
Are they still good? Yeah.
Well, thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Take care.
And we were talking about BuzzFeed suggested you're supposed to squeeze a little fresh lemon on pizza, takeout pizza, home-cooked pizza, whatever kind of pizza. And I'm going to try it. Nancy, you have another way to use lemon?
Yes, I volunteer in a food pantry, and one week we were giving away ribs. And this rather portly African-American man said, now, when you get home, you cook those, you put the barbecue sauce on, and slice lemons on top of it.
Mm.
And it gives a whole different taste. It's just a real fresh, good taste. And he said, and when you tell your friends, tell them the fat black man told you about it. And he was right. They are excellent.
Are you gonna try it on your pizza?
No, I won't try it on my pizza, but I really like it on the barbecue sauce. It's very good. And I don't do mine on the grill. I do them in the crock pot.
Oh,
they're good.
So they're real tender.
Yes, very.
All right. Thank you, Nancy.
Thanks, Nancy.
Okay. Hey, Barb.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Wendy.
What have you got, Barb?
So, my dad, when we used to make Sloppy Joes, he would dig a little hole in the top of the bun,
yeah,
so that the Sloppy Joes have a little pocket.
Oh.
And you get more meat that way.
That's genius.
But do you have to eat it with a knife and fork then? Because it'd be all over the place.
No, you stick the Sloppy Joes in the hole you made in the top of the bun.
Yeah, makes sense.
Oh.
And then you tip it upside down.
Yeah.
Another upside down.
That makes sense. Did he win the Nobel Prize for that? Because he should have.
He could have, yeah. He was pretty adamant about his food.
Wow. Barb, great idea. Wow, thanks so much.
I know.
Thank you so much. We
Brilliant.
Appreciate it. Here's another thing that I am willing to try.
What is that?
Who doesn't love a good cupcake?
Everyone loves cupcakes, Wendy.
Okay.
It's impossible to not love cupcakes.
If it's a frosted cupcake,
yeah,
you turn it into a cupcake sandwich by tearing the bottom off and putting it on top of the frosting. It's way less messy, and it guarantees the perfect bite every time because you're getting some cupcake and you're getting some icing.
Wait, explain that.
You have a cupcake, and there's icing on
the top. As soon as I heard cupcake sandwich, I get very excited. So the whole bottom,
you just rip off a little
the cake
of the bottom.
Part
yes,
that
yes,
is
yes.
Not the frosting,
and then you put it on top of the frosting.
Oh,
part,
that's a good idea.
And then it's not messy, and you eat it like a
sandwich.
Yeah,
I could see that working.
Only with frosted cupcakes, obviously.
Right. It wouldn't make sense without.
But I am going to try that. You'll try that one.
Oh, yeah. That's a good... That's the first one that makes sense to me. The rest of them, I'm not sure would work.
This one, I don't know that I'd do, but it's interesting. Let your frozen pizza thaw a little.
Okay.
And then when it's a little pliable, you fold it in half and then pop it in your oven, and it's a DIY calzone. I think there's more to a calzone than just...
Right. It's still not quite right, but it's in the right direction.
Although somebody said when I lived in a dorm without a kitchen, I used to pull frozen pizzas out of the freezer and let them soften enough to fold in half, and then I cooked those bad boys in a George Foreman grill.
Oh.
Quick and easy calzones.
Yeah, I guess so.
But that's if you're in a dorm.
Right.
And you moved out a couple weeks ago.
I just moved out.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's time.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Bill and Wendy. You were talking about pizza just now.
Yes.
My cousin who passed away, whenever he ate thin crust pizza, he always ate it upside down so the cheese and the sauce would hit your tongue first, because you could probably order pizza from 10 different pizzerias and the crust would be very similar between all of the pizzas, but all the goods on top, that's what he wanted to taste first.
That makes a lot of sense, and it would prevent you from burning the roof of your mouth, which
would.
I do every time I have thin pizza.
Instead of you would burn your tongue in first instead of the roof of your mouth, Wendy.
Right.
I guess, yes. But so if you flipped it upside down, Mike, wouldn't all the topping come off? I don't understand. Do you just kind of hold it?
Well, he wasn't one to eat it right out of the box. It would have to cool off. But if you ate cold pizza where it's a little more stiff, it would definitely... everything would stay intact.
I'm going to try that, too. Are you going to try putting lemon on your pizza? Because I might try that.
Give it a shot.
You know what I heard? I heard that the pizza gurus say that you're not supposed to let the pizzerias cut your pizza.
Right.
I heard that, too.
Right. Lou Malnati's is famous for that.
Yeah,
when you order from them, they say, do you want to cut or uncut? So does my rabbi, by the way.
Awesome. Have a good day.
Thank you,
Mike. I appreciate it. Way to slip it in there.
Yeah.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that either.
Thanks.
All right. You may like this.
What is it? Go ahead.
The best and most underrated topping for your ice cream.
Yeah.
Dry cereal pieces.
I know of several ice cream places that offer that up as an option.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
Like Fruit Loops or something
you put
on vanilla ice cream.
Right. Cocoa Puffs, Fruit Loops.
Cocoa Puffs.
Some lend themselves better to it than others. I'm not sure any of your healthy cereals would work, but your fun, sugary cereals will always work.
All right. Interesting. Instead of putting salt and pepper on your French fries, season the ketchup instead. That already has enough salt.
Why
I don't know.
Why would you do that?
They just say it's easier to do that.
It would make it too salty.
Well, I put so much salt on my fries.
Do you put a lot on?
Yeah.
No, I always ask for no salt because I'm eating healthy French fries. That's what I'm eating.
That's adorable.
No, I always go out of my way if I'm ordering French fries to say, could you do that without salt? I'm very sensitive to the salt.
I ask for extra salt.
Do you
ask for a little packet.
Oh.
And someone said if you want to get hot fries and make sure you ask for them with no salt and then ask them for a salt packet.
Oh, yeah. That would work.
That would work, too. Yeah. We were talking about frozen candy bars. A lot of people saying Charleston Chew is the way to go with frozen.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I could see that working.
Dave?
Yes.
We're talking candy and other food tips. What you got for us?
Well, when I was just some knee-high or whatever, Dad would take me down to a local drugstore here in Fox Lake.
Yeah.
And he'd always give me a candy bar called Forever Yours.
Hmm. Remind us what that is. What goes on with a Forever Yours?
It was chocolate and had peanuts and caramel in it.
Uh-huh.
This might have been, 61, 62.
Yeah.
And then always got to bring home one little pack of Beemans chewing gum.
Oh, I loved that gum.
Yeah.
I can't find it anywhere, but that was my favorite gum.
I think they reissue that every five or ten years. I know I've seen it on shelves not that long ago, but then it keeps vanishing. So maybe they just keep reissuing it. Keep your eyes open for it. It's out there somewhere.
What flavor is that? It's like winter.
It's kinda
green.
It's kind of like a juicy fruit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my dad,
don't give up on it, though. It's out there somewhere.
Yeah, I've seen it every once in a while. A few years ago, it was out in abundance. And remember the clove gum? I liked that, too.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But if you look up, if you try to look up, I'm computer illiterate.
No, I'll help you here. It's the Mars Company, and the original Forever Yours chocolate bar was originally done in made in 1936, and they're selling it.
They still have them.
Well, yes, and it says the original Forever Yours chocolate bar using the same recipe from 1936. Take a bite out of history with this delicious piece of nostalgia. We've brought back the original recipe Forever Yours bar using dark chocolate, caramel, and nougat. Mm. This tasty treat is the perfect snack for those who remember this bar from long before the Milky Way midnight.
It doesn't mention Dave by name?
No, it doesn't. Oh. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Dave.
But it is dark chocolate, that's for sure.
Sometimes I forget to put it in my pocket in my little shorts I was wearing and get home and, oh, no, it already started to melt.
Ah, the worst. The worst. Dave, thanks so much. Have a great week.
And you too.
All right, Thank you. Good luck finding your bar, your Forever Yours bar.
You can order it at MarsInc.com.
They'll send it right to the house.
I'm not a big dark chocolate lover. Like there, you have your Almond Joy milk chocolate and your Mounds, which is dark chocolate without the nuts.
Yeah, I would go the milk chocolate route, too.
Thank you, Jen.
Thanks, Jen. Wendy, remember when I promised you a few months ago that anytime a man or woman or a child got attacked by a kinkajou, I would mention it on the air? Remember? Remember that?
Are you staying true to your word?
Yes. I'm proving myself to be true. I should have brought this up with Steve Dale yesterday because I have to be honest with you. I was not aware that the kinkajou was even a thing. I didn't even know that they existed. If I told you, hey, tomorrow I'm going to bring in a kinkajou, would you know what that was?
Yes, because I worked at Brookfield Zoo.
Oh, they have them at the Brookfield Zoo?
I could be wrong, but isn't it a marsupial, a pouched mammal?
Wow, well done. You know way more. Right
is it?
There.
I'm not sure.
I believe it is. Here's the story. A Florida man, but I would have assumed that, wouldn't you? If there's a strange story in the news, it probably started from Florida. Florida man attacked by a kinkajou, which is an exotic rainforest creature. This while opening, all he did was open his front door. A Florida man will likely think twice about feeding wild animals after he was recently attacked by a raccoon-like rainforest creature who came charging at him after being fed the night prior.
Yeah.
These kinkajous, there's no loyalty. I've often said that, and I think this backs my claim.
They're cute and weird looking.
Their eyes are crazy.
They look like Alfred E. Newman in animal form.
A little bit.
Cuter.
They're cuter. Late last month, a man whose identity has not been released was leaving his girlfriend's Lake Worth Beach apartment. I know that area. That's near Delray Beach. To go to work in the morning when a kinkajou came barging into the second-story residence and attacked him, according to CBS 12. The four-legged rainforest creature, which resembles a monkey but is related to raccoons...
All right, then it's not a pouched mammal. Sorry.
I was going to give you the benefit of the doubt on that, but they're saying otherwise. Had been waiting outside the door all night, hoping to get more food after the man and some neighbors fed it watermelon the day prior. All right, a couple things there. Number one, that was a risky move, the watermelon, because you don't know with any animal. If it's you got an exotic animal coming at you, you don't know what kind of food it likes or hates, right? Why would just somebody just go, well, that thing probably enjoys watermelon. Let's get it some watermelon. It's just quite a gamble.
Maybe that's all they had.
No, that's true.
I would try lettuce. Lettuce would be my go-to thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that. I would try fondue because it rhymes with kinkajou. Because I would just say, if the world of rhyming teaches us anything, it's that you should like this. Go for it.
It teaches us how you think.
It does. It sure does. Also, it proves you shouldn't give animals, wild animals, food because, well, look what happened to this guy. This kinkajou waited the whole next day to attack the guy. Because no good deed goes unpunished, Wendy.
I've
said that in the past. This proves it. Luckily, the man only suffered non-life-threatening injuries from the encounter with the furry animal, which included a bite to the foot and scratches on the back of his leg. That's not horrible.
It's not good.
It's not good, but it's... I mean, it could have been... I don't know how angry these guys get, these kinkajous, but it could have been way worse. He's very lucky. He should be counting his blessings.
Natalie Dulash, who lives in the neighborhood, said she was awakened by the chaos around 5:45 a.m.
Would you give her goulash?
Yeah.
Just because that's how your brain works.
Yes.
And you're part Hungarian.
I believe
I'm figuring you out finally after 25 years.
If you're not familiar with a person or an animal, you should probably start out by feeding them food that name rhymes with their own. I just think it's better that way. Like you, Wendy Snyder, I would give you a White Castle because that's a slider. I would go, she'll like this.
What rhymes with left? That's
no food at all. I would starve. I would have no food. Isn't that sad?
Yes.
I don't have a food that rhymes with me, so
I'll
can't
find
eat
one.
Anything. Natalie Dulash, who lives in the apartment, said she was awakened.
You can't stop thinking about goulash.
No, I can't help myself. She was awakened by chaos at 5:45 after the unsuspected visitor came running in. That's the kinkajou. An intruder that she initially believed was a human.
What? A How little baby she... human? Yeah, Alfred E. Were... Newman human.
Right. Well, see, it's catchy, isn't it?
Yes.
It sounded like a 300-pound man was tackling him in the kitchen.
Wow.
These kinkajous, they pack a wallop, obviously. Dulash explained to CBS 12, that's why I thought somebody was breaking into my house. It scared me, to be honest, she said. When he opened the door, it charged at him, at his leg. Boy, what a surprise that would be. Because let's say you live somewhere and you've opened up the front door hundreds, if not thousands of times without being attacked by a kinkajou. And then all of a sudden, there's one just all over you. What a frightening moment that must have been in his life.
They're pretty cute, though.
Yeah, but you're not thinking that as it's attacking you. Come on, you adorable little monkey. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Well, maybe you could talk it down if you had like a
maybe.
Cutesy voice.
Yeah, that's true.
You little kinkajou.
That's the way to talk. That, see, you say that to one, you got a friend. They would stop mid-attack. It charged at him. I'm sorry. When he opened the door, it charged at him at his leg, and it clung to his leg.
Ooh.
And then he was trying to get it off, but it just kept coming back. She continued noting that she got scared and slammed her bedroom door shut. Thanks for the help. Wouldn't you want a neighbor to come to your aid?
Yeah.
To try to pull it off of your leg or do something? Not just slam the door. This is too intense for me. It was scary. I didn't think it was going to come into the house, she added. We'll probably never forget this.
But we'll feed another one next
right.
week.
Right. If there's another one in the area, we will feed it. The man was eventually able to lock the kinkajou in his bathroom.
Well,
I guess you have to do
something.
You're
limited as to what you're,
right.
where you're going to put it.
But think about what that room must have just been a frenzy. You just hear all kinds of screaming and yelling and banging. They're not used to be caged up in a bathroom. This until wildlife officers arrived at his home. I wouldn't go in there if I were you. That's what I would say as soon as they came over. An initial report from the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission obtained by the outlet stated that the animal was then taken to an unnamed licensed facility. At the time, officers were unable to determine where the kinkajou came from and whether it had been owned by anyone.
I don't think they're just hanging out in the wild, are they?
I don't think so.
So somebody obviously had it and changed their mind.
Where did we say it was from? From the rainforests? So I don't think they're indigenous to Florida.
No.
I think somebody like every pet story we've heard had one, got tired of it, and released it into the wild.
Don't do that.
No.
Or maybe from a zoo.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, maybe. It is unclear if the animal has since been released into the wild. Why is that unclear? I would just ask that question, point out. I would just say, you know that kinkajou in the story? Where is it? Is it in the wild? Where is it? Still in the guy's bathroom? A rep for the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation did not immediately respond to People Magazine's request for a comment. I don't know why People Magazine got involved. But anytime People Magazine gets involved, it always tells you the subject of the story, comma, how old that person is.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the story. For no reason at all. Kinkajou, 8 months. Why doesn't it do that? According to National Geographic, kinkajous are typically found in tropical forests of Central and South America. The animals are known for their tails,
yeah,
which work like an arm to allow them to balance and hang from branches.
Like a monkey.
Yeah, like a monkey. Similar to their raccoon relatives, kinkajous are nocturnal animals who roam and eat at night. Not with this guy. This guy was up at 5:45 in the morning. First thing in the morning, he's attacking this guy. But they also have the ability to turn their feet backwards.
That's
you know who
cool.
else has that? Ryan Burrow has that in the newsroom. Ask him. He'll do it. Right. Charges $1.50 for it, but it's worth every penny. They have the ability to turn their feet backwards and quickly run in either direction.
That's
wow.
crazy.
How did that happen? That's amazing.
That's pretty wild.
I bet you could win on America's Got Talent with that.
Except you're a kinkajou.
Right. Well, all right. I didn't say
but
it was.
Maybe Ryan Burrow should go on.
I'm going to suggest that to Ryan when I see him. He'll be rich.
You know who had a kinkajou?
No.
Paris Hilton.
Seriously?
That's what I'm seeing.
I didn't know that.
They are known as honey bears. They're small, golden brown rainforest-dwelling mammals, as you pointed out. They've become increasingly popular as pets. Celebrities such as Paris Hilton have been known to have a kinkajou as a pet. But the rich and famous aren't the only ones who find these animals adorable. But you shouldn't take pet ownership lightly because they require a very special owner.
I bet. I can imagine. Now, if you're Paris Hilton and you hear this story, do you think twice about it? Do you just say, I don't know if this is a great pet? They'll turn on you. If you don't give it more watermelon, they will turn on you quickly. I fear for the safety of Paris Hilton, Wendy.
I don't think you have to worry about it. I'm sure she got rid of it.
I hope so. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. We're at 312-981-7200 if you'd like to jump in. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. Ooh-ha! Still left, it's Wendy Snyder. We're at current number, 312-981-7200. Not the number Wendy gave you. That's bonus hour only. This hour, 312-981-7200. Did you see that there is a new line of Barbie dolls coming out?
I did see that.
This is a good idea, isn't
it? Pays tribute to women.
Yes.
Because girls rule.
That's true, Wendy.
Sally Field, was it?
They are not making a Sally Field doll.
No, is she the one that said girls rule?
Oh.
Or was that Meryl Streep? Was one of the two. Do you remember it at one of the awards show?
Who said that? I don't remember that. That's
a trivia
good question. I don't know the answer to that.
Then you don't.
But I agree with it wholeheartedly.
I know you do.
For Women's Equality Day, Mattel, that's the maker of America's most iconic doll, announced the addition of two role models to the Barbie-inspired women's series. Barbie dolls of civil rights activist Rosa Parks and Sally Ride, the first American female astronaut, are now on sale at Barbie.com. They will run you $30.99 apiece.
Boy, they've gone up in price, haven't they?
When we were kids, I think they were $4, right?
I think my cousin's
Barbies. Oh, were they that much? Yeah.
I'm probably younger
than your
cousin.
For some reason, yeah, maybe. Maybe. But I had read, now it's not part of this story, they don't mention it in this story, I had read recently that Barbie doll sales have taken a hit in the last several years, and they're not sure why, and I got to be honest, I'm not sure why. Is there a reason?
I don't know. Toys have changed.
Yeah.
I heard Steve Cochran talking about these giant lawn games. Were you listening earlier this morning? He mentioned a giant Kerplunk that you could get for your yard at a party. And G wasn't sure what it was because that's an old game. That takes you back. But those were just really fun, simple games.
Right.
And a Barbie doll was fun and simple. But now it would be like an electronic Kerplunk where you have to press buttons and set traps and do stuff. I don't think a doll, I mean, people say a doll's going to be tried and true.
Right.
I don't know. There's more fun things to play with.
But don't you kind of need stuff like that just to build your imagination? Like with a Barbie doll, and I guess any doll or action figure, the storyline is now up to you. It's all on you to create a world for it, right?
There's no time for creating now. You can just have a video game show you
how to do it. But isn't that kind of sad?
Yeah.
I think that's sad because those were staples. Although I have to be honest, when my daughters were of the age where a Barbie doll should have appealed to them, they didn't do much for them. I remember they had some, but they rarely have ever played with them. They didn't have the Dream House or the Star Vet. Or all the friends.
Although you did, so
I had that.
It was at the ready.
I wouldn't let him touch mine.
I wasn't that 100% into Barbie dolls.
You weren't
either. There were Dawn dolls that I enjoyed. They were just a little smaller.
I remember the Dawn dolls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I used to set up different types of houses that they would perform in.
What does that
like
mean?
Like sex houses.
What?
I know, I was a weird kid.
Well, really?
My cousin and I would do that. We'd just dress them very sexily.
Was this when G.I. Joe was home on leave? Come on, boys, I know where the action is.
Come into my lair.
Yeah.
It was Dawn, and I can't I think there was an Angie, maybe. Yeah, that was very short-lived, and I talk about imagination.
Wow. Yes.
My cousin and I did that.
Wow.
I don't think G.I. Joe was involved.
No?
I think they were just, we dressed them a little provocatively.
And then what happened?
They just waited for someone to show up, and no one ever
never
showed
did.
Up.
Oh,
no.
That, what a sad ending to that.
Yeah, that's the story of my life. But I was more into my brother's Matchbox cars. He had a garage and everything.
Yeah.
And I really liked playing with that.
You would have chosen that.
I did choose that.
Yeah?
And then I had my own Hot Wheels.
Oh, you did?
Set. Yeah.
Oh,
I really
very
liked
nice.
That.
Very, very nice.
I just, there was nothing to the doll.
I just always thought it was interesting. I'm not saying bad or good. That they kept giving Barbie, she had so many occupations. I don't know if that's bad or good, but she was a cheerleader for a while, then she was an astronaut, then she was a physicist. You know, she got fired a lot. I don't know why. I don't know what Barbie was doing wrong. An incredible resume. But I think this...
Yeah, this is a good one.
This is a very good idea. I'll read you the these are all the five in the newest set from Barbie. I already mentioned Rosa Parks, and I already mentioned Sally Ride. Amelia Earhart, which will be the Barbie doll that you can never find. Where's my Amelia Earhart doll? It was here and now it's gone. Frida Kahlo.
I don't know who that is. I got to tell. Oh, yes, I do.
Who is she? Tell me who Frida Kahlo is.
An artist.
Yes.
That Salma Hayek played, right?
Yes. Wow. Very good. A Mexican artist.
Yes.
And Katherine Johnson.
Not sure if I know who that is.
Katherine Johnson, I believe, was a mathematician. I'm almost positive she's a mathematician. What if I'm 1,000% wrong?
Well, that's what I got to find out.
Then I apologize.
Katherine Johnson is an American mathematician whose calculations of orbital mechanics as a NASA. So she's NASA. It's not just a mathematician.
But a NASA mathematician.
Yeah. She worked for NASA. She was the orbital mechanics as a NASA employee, and they were critical to the success of the first and subsequent U.S. crewed space flights. Wow. That's pretty cool.
So these are, I mean, obviously Mattel has done the right thing here. They're saying to anybody with kids of Barbie doll age, you can really shoot for the stars. You can really show these girls that the sky's the limit. They can do whatever they want to do. Here's five great examples. That's a good thing. There's no bad in that, right?
This is the best one. Instead of just making her a mathematician or making her a science teacher.
Right.
And by the way, Katherine Johnson is still alive. She's 101 years old.
Oh, wow. That's excellent.
That's pretty incredible. And Joe is pretty sure he knows how the Barbie doll went out of fashion. Joe, what do you think?
Well, for about the last 20 years, every little girl, including my daughter, my granddaughter, wanted the American Girl doll.
All right.
That did.
That took a bite out of them a little bit. Yeah.
And I think that's what gave Barbie the hit.
Well, it's a combination of that, which are really wholesome and all-American looking, and then they also had Bratz dolls. Is that still a thing?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if they're still around.
Those dolls had loose morals, Wendy.
Yeah.
They did. All right. Well,
I know I invested a lot in those American Girl dolls.
There were years I spent more money on their clothes than clothes for myself, and I'm not exaggerating.
Exactly.
You were able to buy like 12 Barbie dolls, though, for the cost of one American Girl doll.
That's true. John, you're right.
Sure.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Joe. We appreciate it. And Tammy has a theory, too, while Barbie is not that popular anymore. What do you think, Tammy?
I agree that I think that all the kids want now is the thrill of pushing a button.
Yeah.
As opposed to just taking their time and creativity.
Yep.
I'm a preschool teacher, and the best thing to do is to take out blocks and dowels and, you know, and all the different things that we have and let them just play and get some imagination out of what they have instead of giving them or sitting them down in front of a computer or a phone or something like that and instant gratification. I just don't think it's worth it.
So true. So true.
And I got to tell you, Tammy, I still enjoy blocks. I mean, if I found, came upon a box of blocks, I would play with them. It's so innocently fun.
Absolutely. You know what? I just got a few new things from, well, they're new used things from garage sales. Tinker Toys.
Yep, mm-hmm. Love those.
And Bristle Block. And there's another one, Placeable. I'm actually trying to see if I can find more of them because they're, I don't think you can get them anymore. There's something called Clippo by Placeable. And I teach 2 and 3 year olds. And to have that creativity and then to add on, you know, the little people and
I loved my little
all the
people.
Different things that, yes, it's great. And so I just wanted to to say my piece that I agree 100% with you, and I think that kids don't have imagination anymore.
Tammy, stay with it. That's so good. Force them to use their imagination. They'll thank you later.
I agree.
Thank you, Tammy. Appreciate it.
Yep.
I liked playing with my kids' little people. I need to specify because I don't think they were, maybe they were around when we were growing up, but they looked very different. They were just kind of like a ball for a head and then
right.
just like a weird little body.
Yes.
I'd probably still play with my Barbie dolls if it was socially acceptable.
Why not?
Well, you're a unique individual.
Why not,
that
Jen?
Is very true. That is. I think my mom still has them in the basement somewhere. I had like over 100 dolls. I had three houses. Oh, yeah. My favorite thing to do was to like leave my friends and go home and just play by myself with my Barbie dolls.
Wow. That's excellent.
Oh, I just never got into it.
No. They're not for everybody.
Yeah.
They're real. I mean, obviously.
Wendy, I did think I was going to look like one when I grew up, and it was very disappointing when I hit my 20s, and I did not. No. So, yeah.
No. Well, coming up, the stories that matter with Jen DeSalvo, our own Barbie doll.
I look more
doll.
Like Ken.
Did you? Really? Did you?
Yes.
All from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.